Thank you, Wendy. I found or had a sense of deja vu as in the last panel, as I heard two references made to recommendations of the Administrative Conference of the United States, which was based on a report that I actually wrote for them, and which reinventing rationality was came or stemmed from. So I've been looking at this for a long time. I'm going to highlight what I think is the biggest problem with cost-benefit analysis by harking back almost probably 20 years ago at a conference put on cost-benefit analysis by the National Academies of Sciences. And one of the presenters there was a young, at that time, psychologist named Richard Thaler, who now, as we probably many of you know, is the co-author with our shadow guest of honor here today, Cass Sunstein, of the book Nudge. Thaler at that point suggested a kind of Gedanken experiment that I found so intriguing that I have used it every year since with my torts class and had them just participate in this experiment. And I'm going to do it with you right now. And that is, assume with me for a moment that the water or the coffee or whatever it is that you have, of which you've partaken since you came in here, presents a 1 in 1,000 risk of a quick and painless death to you. You are now exposed to that risk. I have the antidote, and I am willing to sell it to you, but only if the price is right. What will you pay me for that? How much are you willing to pay me for that antidote? Just 1 in 1,000 risk, okay? Don't lie to me. Don't tell me you can pay me more than you can afford. Okay, don't tell me $1 million if you don't have $1 million or you can't quickly borrow $1 million, which is tough these days. Okay, the next hypothetical is very much the same one, except that the food or liquid you consumed presents a 4 in 1 million. I'm sorry, I said 1 in 1 million. I meant 1 in 1,000. Let's make it 1 in 1,000, closer to the ocean numbers. Is a 4 in 1,000 risk. If that's causing you to recalculate, it should. It's a higher, much higher risk. That is the 1 in 1,000 versus 1 in 1 million. Now, 4 in 1,000 risk is, of course, a higher risk than a 1 in 1,000 risk as well. But my antidote only works a quarter of the time. Okay, what will you pay me for that one? And the final one is, actually, you haven't been exposed to anything like that so far, but I would like to expose you to a 1 in 1,000 risk in the lunch we're about to partake of. What will it cost me? I'd like to persuade you to expose yourself to a 1 in 1,000 risk of a quick and painless death. How much am I going to have to pay you for that? Okay. Now, at the time, though, Thaler has certainly come a long distance since then. At the time, he said you would be irrational to answer any of those questions differently. They all ought to have the same answer. But every time I've done it, I'm sure if I had you fill it out, as I have my class occasionally, you will have a much larger number on the latter question that you'll assign than the former question. The first and the second question, that's a legitimate issue, but that is the same risk you're paying for when you pay for it. It's a 1 in 1,000 risk reduction either way. Now, whether you really crave the certainty of zero risk, or what we would, at least in the hypothetical, is zero risk, is another matter. But as between the first and the third question, we'll always get different answers. And that's because of a fundamental conflict in cost, in the valuation of credible risks to life or other very important things to us. Most of the time, we have markets in things like damage to buildings, if it's SO2 emissions, and we can put a value on what it is we are getting when we put those dollars into reducing the pollution or whatever it is. Okay, and it's a price at which the market clears. But we won't have a market in this. We won't get a clearance price because what people are willing to pay is never as much as they're willing to, or they demand to accept that risk when it's a credible risk to life. It just never is. And Therein, I think, lies the biggest problem in cost-benefit analysis. It's schizophrenic. It depends on how you ask the question. And of course, how you ask the question depends on how you allocate rights initially. What do I have the right to object, or do you have the right to impose this risk on me, and I have to pay you not to? Now, interestingly, in almost every context, the economists will ask that question as, what are you willing to pay so that I don't pollute your environment, or I don't subject you to this or that risk? And that is, in my view, loading the question against action to protect people. There are some contexts, as for example, Kip Viscusi says he's teased out a willingness to accept on the context of workplace risks. But if you look at that work carefully, and we don't have time for that now, I'm not sure he's looking at the right places to know what that risk premium that workers are supposed to be charging their employers is. But in most contexts, we frame that as willingness to pay. Even if we don't, it's still incoherent. I'll leave it at that.